Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run. I'm happy to be here with you guys. This episode was supposed to be an interview with Robert Duncan O'Finian. I know a lot of you know who Robert Duncan O'Finian is. We've done a few interviews with him here. And he is basically the real-life Jason Bourne. I'm sure he gets that all the time. But that's what he is. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that movie was like literally about Robert Duncan O'Finian. And I really think it very well could be. I mean, I lean more towards it being about Duncan O'Finian than it not, for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's a renegade in the sense that, I mean, he was this mind-controlled assassin that they created and kind of went a little haywire. I mean, and it was because of his own... there's a lot of factors in there, I'm sure, to get memories back. But when he started getting his memories back, you know, that's what it was driven by. And then, you know, now it's more to expose them in the same Jason Bourne way, but not in the, but also in the Jason Bourne way. He's not wanting to just take his abilities into the CIA and just start taking everybody out. He just wants to expose people and prevent this from happening to other kids, you know, because that, unlike Jason Bourne, Robert is, the real story is that they take kids from being 6 years old and torture them mercilessly to get them to dissociate and create the multiple personalities in which they can train to do any number of things, and it gets a lot weirder than Jason Bourne's story ever did. But anyway, we didn't do the interview for various technical reasons and a few other reasons, but we should be able to do it next week. He had me worried there for a second because this show is supposed to be kind of I don't know how much I can say, but a lot of evidences and stuff are going to start coming out about it. He's taking a lot of heat just because it seems like people on boards and stuff are like, well, show me the x-rays of your chip in your arm and this and that, and you know, I've seen the x-rays now. I mean, something that I think that is going to give a lot of credibility to his story, and it will help him, you know, take his story further. I don't know what he wants to do with it. He was saying that this would be one of his last interviews, and I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to talk to him to see what the deal is, but I'm thinking he should go on, you know, Good Morning America and everything else, but we'll see what he's got to say about that next week. Hopefully next week. Anyway, so we'll look forward to that, but I guess in this episode we get to do a sort of an old school style show, just ranting about some stuff, which is good because we've got a lot of stuff to cover. We've done a lot of really important and interesting interviews with very interesting people, so it would be good to sort of recap what we know and think and where we're going with a lot of that stuff now. And also do a few just show note related things and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that. Let me talk real quick about that movie. I just saw the Jason Bourne, the last one in the theaters, and I saw the two other ones before that, just a little bit before we went into the theater or whatnot, a few days before. Anyway, I was pretty upset by it because of the whole whitewashing, the whole idea of, I mean, not to spoil the ending, but it was kind of like, I mean, this won't really spoil the ending for you because it's like, oh, don't you remember, Jason, that you chose to be all, you know, chose to do this. You were a soldier already and you chose to be a super soldier and, you know, erase your memories and join the black projects and be an assassin, like to fight the terrorists and everything else. It's like, oh, man, you know, it was just frustrating because here they were talking about MK Ultra and all these mind control experiments and, you know, all this stuff in a real way. And then and then whitewashing it and saying, oh, yes, it exists, but it's totally benign and it's all for your protection to fight the terrorist, rah, rah, rah. It's like, damn, you know? Because here, you know, they don't get a choice, you know? These kids don't get a choice. They don't care anything about what country or anything. And you know, it's not just the kids that are in mind-controlled assassin programs or that were in the 60s and 70s. That was just the beginning of it. You know, now it's so insidious. It's everywhere. It's so amazing how big this network is and dangerous it is. And we got to wake up to it, and we've got to see that it's real so that we can be on guard against it and recognize it, you know, because a lot of people could be in serious danger if they just don't know that this is real. And so it's time for everybody to wake up in this regard, and we got to do it quick because this black awakening or whatever we're going to call it is coming, and we've got to do something about that. I would encourage everybody to please pray for Robert Duncan O'Finian. Just really specifically target him in prayer because he needs it right now, especially in this very interesting time. We've got to have a serious targeting in him for him in prayer, and I'm sure that it will be greatly appreciated, and especially if you've been keeping up with what we've been talking about lately on the show, then you'll feel me on that. So let's take a quick break, and we've got a million things to do after we get back, so stay tuned.
Paid up, look like I'm gonna get a better seat. Everybody's talking, it's hard not to listen. And I've let it get the best of me. Where we gonna go? Oh, I need to know. Where we gonna go? On giving and it keeps on taking, and I wonder how much more it's gonna take for me. Oh, where we gonna go? Need to know where we gonna go. Sometimes it feels like I'm just traveling simple, like justify it for a short time. For a short time, when I could go, I could live to rise. I could change my mind.
Think Delivious! Well, you know all the guys upstairs are into Satanism as well, don't you, Tom?
Oh, my.
Tom, why don't you join us at the country club this weekend?
The country club?
Yeah, we're going to play a quick 9 holes of golf, and then we're going to sacrifice Jenkins.
Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
Welcome to the real world.
Hi. Does this seem weird?
A yellow-coated curfew is now in effect. Any unauthorized personnel will be subject to arrest. This is for your protection.
Okay, a few show notes and whatnot. The Frank Lordy interview, I think I announced in one of the shows that I had finally fixed it, and now the full interview was there, and it wasn't, and I think I got it fixed now, maybe. But yeah, the full interview, if you were interested in that, it may be on the archives now. I'll double check again. But it should be on the archives, nowheretorun.podomatic.com. You can reach me for any reason at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That is chris@conspiracyclothes.com. And you can send me your hate mail and all that stuff. And all that stuff. That music you heard was from actually my band, The Loft. I rarely ever do that or talk about it very much, but that was we've been recording a lot of new stuff, and that's real raw material. But I thought it was kind of appropriate and whatnot. It's called Hell Is Coming, and it's just a little appropriate. I'm not the singer, by the way. I know it sounds like I would say, but it's not. And so anyway. Okay, and I also want to really thank everybody for praying for me. I just want you to know that I can really tell, and it's really working, whatever you were praying for. I appreciate it, because I can just, I feel it, and I know it's a big part of everything. I attribute your prayers to everything in this show. Anything that happens in this show is a direct result of it. And that's how anybody that likes the show can support it. It's the only thing I ask for, or anything. I mean, that's just how this works. And it's just going to become so much more important as everything keeps going. I mean, you know, but nothing can stop this whole situation. If God is for us, then nothing can stand against us. I mean, the power of prayer, like Russ Dizdar was saying, John Knox, you know, fear John Knox's prayers more than standing armies. And I just really, really encourage everybody to get into a regimen of prayer, because in these days that we're about to be plunged into here, it's going to be so tough that without preparing now to have faith and pray for God to just pour faith out on you, because faith is going to be like gold and rubies in this future, because we're going to need so much of it in order to get through this time that's coming, because we're going to need miracles performed on a daily basis, you know, basically. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about here, so let's just get right to it. We had a lot of really good interviews with people. Frank Lordy's interview, I think, was really important. We were talking about the unification theory of conspiracies, all that stuff. It was really great. He is a genius as far as researching and stuff. He'd really expanded on that, but certainly really blew me away with his theory about what could be under the pyramid and what the purpose of the pyramid itself were. You know, a lot of people have a lot of theories about the Great Pyramid, and, you know, for the most part, one's about as good as the other. Because just saying that, no, your guess is as good as mine for the most part. But I think Frank has done, just in passing, like, I don't even think he really talked about it much past that. But it's just such an astounding conclusion. And what's more astounding is that it's so logical, yet nobody's talking about it on the internet or anything. It's just ridiculously crazy, because it seems so real. And I really think this is just one of the just big breakthroughs of this time frame, and that is that what is going on with that is that it's some kind of astral machine or something that you lay in that sarcophagus, and somehow or another, through various things, aided by this frequency deal that happens, and everybody, you know, acoustic engineers, everybody running around the pyramid with sensors and sonic crap, you know, knows that the pyramid has all these acoustic properties. Anyhow, you'll have to listen to what he has to say on salvationrevelation.com. You'll find his links to his podcast there, and he's also done an extremely good write-up. I think he calls it the unification theory or something to that effect, where he describes and references how this very well, underneath that, very well may be one of the abysses spoken of in the Bible. And that when cross-reference this document, I don't know if you'd call it a document, the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, which is a occult document in a lot of senses, describes a lot of nefarious things, but it is ancient, and so even if it was, as I said in one of the forums, even if it was just some, you know, 6th century comic book, it's still important for its historical value that we know it's that old. And my point, and what's being said in this document, is just detailing how to lay in the sarcophagus and have this astral experience aided by this thing to go visit underneath the pyramid what is trapped underneath it, this dark lord sitting on a throne and whatever. And then you cross-reference that with how, you know, Crowley, Aleister Crowley, you know, on his honeymoon with whatever woman spent the night in the pyramid and whatever, and you cross-reference it with all these people that have spent these nights in the pyramid and, you know, the laying in the sarcophagus and, oh, Art Bell laid in the sarcophagus and has a funny story to tell, whatever. But, you know, what was interesting is that this document is describing a very technical aspect of using these two different frequencies modulated at this different speed to actually do the kicking out of the body. And the ELF frequencies generated by the pyramid, and how, if you go look at all the stuff that the ELF frequencies are doing, you'll get scared to death and you will start wearing aluminum foil hats. I'm really considering doing that myself. But, you know, I might start selling them at conspiracyclothes.com. Maybe that's what I'll start offering with every shirt. So that was interesting. I think that there's stuff to be expanded on there. And then we talked with Russ Dizdar and all the stuff that Russ Dizdar is about. Russ is just amazing. I really just think he is something else. And I've been going through a lot of his audio, and I encourage everybody to do the same. I'll try to put some more links to some of his audio on the show notes of nowheretorun.podomatic.com. And also, to do with Russ and kind of all that stuff, I wrote an article called A Vast Satanic Conspiracy, and I think this is what kind of getting closer to what we're going to be talking about. In this article, basically, I just wrote down what I think is going on as far as this just massive conspiracy going on with the satanic ritual abuse and how absolutely widespread it is, how it's in everybody's backyard. It's in your local small town government, and it's at the top levels of your local small town government and your papers and the highest levels of our national papers and national banking and national and global this and global that. It's everywhere. It's everywhere that power is. And it's behind all these groups that all these conspiracy theorists are blaming on who is running the show. You know, it's the Jesuits, it's the Zionists, it's the neocons, it's the ancient bloodlines, it's whatever. It at the heart of all these things, and that's what I did in this article, is showing that at the heart of them is this dogma, whatever you want to call it. I know that people don't like the word Satanism, and so many people bring the argument of, oh, well, Satanism is this, and I happen to know that Satanism means this, and Satan isn't even whatever. Just all these semantic arguments about Luciferian definitions and what does it mean. I don't care what definitions we're talking about here, but how about this? The people that run your local businesses and the people that run your government and the people that run the global system on a whole are sacrificing babies and eating them, and it's getting covered up by your local law enforcement, and that they're part of it, and that it's not a joke, and that this is really real, and the evidence is all over the place. And the only reason you don't know it is because it's so well hidden, because they have their people in all these places of power, and it's not some kind of joke, and it's not like they don't get, you know, they're not killing babies just, I mean, they probably are killing them for the pure joy of it too, but they're getting power out of this. And the numbers of the people that are reporting this abuse are just through the roof. And the way that they've countered that is by saying that, coming up with a whole new problem, a psychiatric problem, and that's called False Memory Syndrome Foundation, or that's the foundation that's propagating it, of which the founders of were accused of abuse themselves. The mother and father team, or at least the father, was accused of abuse of his own daughter and had to resign. So here's that. That's your agency that's telling you that. I guess I wonder if they accused his daughter of hallucinating the same thing. Of course, I don't think she said ritual abuse. Maybe, though. But basically, all these people that are saying, yeah, I was a kid and I was in a circle and there was blood and people in masks and everything, you know, that there are millions of people saying that. Millions and millions and millions going to psychiatrists and saying this same story. But no, they're just hallucinating. They're all hallucinating because they must have heard, this is like basically what they're saying, they must have heard Oprah in the 80s, who did a show on this, and Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and Geraldo, all of which did a show on this, and they caused satanic panic, as they say. And so therefore caused all these millions of people who are to this day filling up psychiatrist offices, that's what happened. That's just crazy. And this is about to be a really real thing. And they're breeding these people, these mind-controlled people that have multiple personalities and demonized, and it's just so huge. And they don't like getting exposed either. But at the same time, but we've got to learn right now, the church and the body of Christ and everybody in between has got to learn that we have the authority over evil, that we were given it. That was like the gig. That's why this whole thing went down, was so that we wouldn't be oppressed by this anymore, that we could fight it. And the whole system, the whole plan, the whole reason that they poisoned the well of the church and made it look so ridiculous and put all their agents at heads of these churches to make everybody turn away from Christ is because they knew that if they heard the real story, then you would have the power to defeat them. But even the Christianity that is real, but it's so watered down in the churches, they've won there too, because you don't even know that you have the power. You don't even know that the enemy exists. But, you know, if Russ Dizdar is right, and shatterthedarkness.net is his website, but if he's right about this black awakening that's going to come and things are going to be a whole lot different when this black awakening starts, then we're going to have to deal with demonic possession. We're going to have to deal with a lot weirder stuff than demonic possession right in our faces. And the laws of, you know, the spiritual warfare is still going to apply. But, man, we got to really get to learning what it is that we're up against and what the technical aspects of it are. You got to know what you're doing, and you got to know what not to do. So anyway, I do recommend shatterthedarkness.net to learn about that, and I will link the article of the vast satanic conspiracy article from the Nowhere to Run.podomatic site. It'll probably link to all the other podcast sites and whatnot. But an interesting thing about this is I need you guys to pray about that too for me as well, and to pray that this starts to come to light. And if we get together and really start praying about this stuff, then it can happen. I mean, the prayers that we can generate, you know, on and focus it on issues like that, I mean, it's just dangerous. I mean, it's the most dangerous thing in the world to these people. But anyway, people have been contacting me and contacting other people and talking about it on the forums and stuff. And it's really good. And you have a lot of scared people, and you have people that are just now getting parts of their memories. And the thing about a lot of this stuff is that it's just so hard for people to get their memories because they have programs that keep them from remembering in the first place. That if they have been told under serious duress that they don't even remember, but just are depending on the programmer and a whole number of things, they have these programs to start getting sick or have massive headaches or whatever whenever they start to remember or whenever they start to, you know, find out about stuff or question stuff. It's an ingrained thing, so they fight themselves with it. But as I was saying just today to one lady that, you know, the reason that people are still in the closet with this is because they do what they were supposed to do, you know, that they they did what they were expected to do when the programming broke down. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is to jump right back into the same system that they can't have, this occult idea of, you know, the spirits are there. Look, you're not going to find a disbeliever in me that there are spirits all around us and that there's a second heaven and you can tap into these records and you can find all truths about everything. It's just Gnostic watcher philosophy, man. It's just a bargaining chip for you to do something for these spiritual entities. I was talking to a friend the other day who was asking me about this stuff and whatever, and he was saying that, you know, it's kind of like our right to tap into it, you know, I mean, as whatever humans or whatever. And I was saying, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't see how you can say it's your right to tap into it. I mean, these entities don't have any way into our plane unless through our will. And so they lie their asses off about a lot of stuff. They got people believing all kinds of things, and they manifest in all kinds of different ways, as long as you will give them a foothold into this world or into your body. They don't care what the hell they tell you. They will tell you any number of things. I mean, people are around there believing the craziest stuff that you've ever heard, and it comes in many different flavors. Just you name it, there is a flavor for it. It doesn't matter. And so that's what I, you know, you talk to people like in Wicca and stuff and are adamant that they are not summoning demons. Look, I am not summoning demons, whatever, whatever. And I know, happen to know all the way, I know every Wicca in the whole country, and I'm friends with Senior Wicca, Senoro Wicca. That it doesn't matter who you know or whatever, because if you're summoning spirits and you know the spirits are real and the spirits are doing this and trading you favors in order to do this, then you're summoning demons. You're giving them what they want. They can tell you that they're angels from heaven and whatever. It doesn't matter, because you've already given them what they want. And if they got to throw you a bone of something that they already know about, I mean, you don't know anything about their dimension. I'm sure that the knowledge of the actual physics of this world is kind of old hat to them once you're, you know, at that, you know, on that plane. I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling that these Akashic records or whatever, you know, or whatever the remote viewers and whatever are tapping into, quote unquote, or whatever is getting told through channeling, or, you know, all this stuff is just, you know, it's not a big deal. That's the same bargaining chip that they've been selling to people all through history. I mean, they keep telling everybody in history, hey, look at this neat little thing that you can do with physics, and let me tell you, come over here, I gotta, and then, you know, they'll teach them how to build a pyramid, or how to build this, or all about astronomy, or all about this, all throughout history. And what do they want in return? What do they always want in return? Sacrifice. They always demand sacrifice. And we look at ancient history, and we look at all these evidences of sacrifice, and we look at all these evidences of these hybrid god men forcing these people to do stuff in exchange for knowledge, and we look at that in our academic eyes, and we see what we just consider it hallucination. I mean, the official story is that our ancestors were completely insane. I mean, that's what we're saying, because we're saying that they sacrificed because they believed the sun was scary and the moon was also scary, and they didn't understand, so they just sacrificed their kids. What the hell sense does that make? I mean, at the very least, we know that there was a person or you know, a series of people that they considered very much different than themselves and worthy of sacrifice. And why sacrifice? Okay, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there thinking, well, it was aliens. Haven't you thought about the aliens? Yeah, I have thought a lot about the alien potential, you know, being the ancient peoples that we see all throughout history. And I'm not against the idea on the grounds of anything. You know, I've been through the road of thinking that with Zacharias Sitchin and everything else, and it doesn't add up. I encourage anybody that is a current Sitchinite to check out SitchinIsWrong.com. And although, like, Michael Tessarian is of a different denomination, you know, than Sitchin, I guess you could call it, it applies to his whole shtick too. It just breaks down on its base level. A Sitchin Is Wrong goes through a lot of the actual out and out lies that are being told, but philosophically, we have a lot of troubles with that. There's other problems with it that I won't go into here, but it doesn't add up. And took me a while to get out of that, and that was, I don't know, almost 10 years or something. So it's been a while. Maybe not that long, but it's been a while since that faith-shattering experience happens. I know, and I that's why I feel such a compassion for people that have watched this new Zeitgeist movie or whatever, because, I mean, that kind of thing is easily disproved. In fact, those specific things that the Zeitgeist movie is saying, you know, is not even, you can't back that up with actual ancient texts. You have to use Jordan Maxwell or some other author from the last half century in order to make these claims. And they don't even claim that. You can go to zeitgeistmovie.com and see the references there. They're not even claiming to reference the ancient texts themselves. Anyway, it's not easy to disprove because you have to go through and read that stuff. And it's also the double whammy on that is that that kind of stuff is taught in academia, in the colleges. You know, one of the first order of business when you go to college is that they drop the Christ conspiracy on you. I mean, it's a big deal because, you know, it's like the Da Vinci Code. That's like using the Da Vinci Code as a textbook and then selling that like it's fact, you know, and selling it like that is... That's what we believe here in college land. And, you know, I mean, even though you could prove it wrong, it's a textbook, by God. So, of course, it's got to be right. I mean, I paid a lot of money for this. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's right. And it's just real insidious. And I think that kind of thing is going to get a lot worse. And I just anticipate at some level, at some time, it's just going to be so overwhelming with this just disinformation that there's going to be a hate for Christians. Because, oh, well, I mean, you can already tell that with anybody that's been to college and is just real prideful about the whole fact that they paid money to go to school and everything. And they view Christians as stupid because and they just obviously see them as brainwashed. And you know, if it was that damn easy to disprove Christianity, you know, they would have done it by now, trust me. You know, they don't put the Christ conspiracy on the news because it wouldn't hold water to people that, you know, that do things like check their facts. And I always hear people say that the reason that they're not doing it is because it would just break the system and we couldn't handle it, and it's just it would hurt the Catholic Church. I'll throw up because, I mean, anybody that doesn't see this is an incredibly anti-Christian system is totally deluding themselves. And they're part of the system or getting part of the system, and they don't even see, they can't even see past their face to see that the people that they're being, the buffer between them and the actual truth of the actual new world order and all the real things, their buffer is sitting there in front of them, right in front of their face, Michael Tesarian and Zachariah Sitchin and all these guys just telling them that, hey, you know, this means that this and this and this. I mean, they are a buffer. You go, I mean, if MySpace pages are any indication of this, you can just go around to different people's MySpace pages as I add a lot of people with the conspiracy closed MySpace page. And so you can really have a window into people's lives there. And so much, you know, of this so quote-unquote truth movement is totally that. It's buffered by, you know, well, we all believe in the Illuminati, the Michael Tesarian and David Icke, Zachary Sitchin version of the Illuminati, and the 2012 dogma, all this New Age stuff. I mean, yes, World Trade Center 7, you know, is a major anomaly, and we could really kick some serious ass for the people that killed all those people and the agenda behind it. But, you know, let's not turn this into a religious dogma. You know, just because you can find out some symbolism, I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, that they're not plants. I mean, Sitchin was called out as being at these satanic rituals. Tesarian is a Rosicrucian. Icke admits that he got his information through channeling. I mean, we're sitting here believing people that are overtly working for the other side. So it's just crazy. So anyway, I don't know why I got off on that. We got a lot more interesting stuff to do than just rant about my my apologetics views here. Something interesting I do want to talk about. I got an email from Nick Shelton, who is the author of a really interesting new novel called The American Truth. It's basically like a novel about September 11th. The September 11th attacks. It kind of just has a very interesting flow. It's really, really interesting. I'll try to get him on the show at some point, but it kind of like is a Da Vinci Code kind of flow, but it's about 9/11. It's a really good idea. You can go to his website at amtruth.com. Anyway, the reason I brought him up is because he emailed me and said he was going to Oxford to study, and he was talking about C.S. Lewis and how I had said at some point that C.S. Lewis was trying to write a very 1984 book with his space trilogy. And, in fact, it was reviewed by Orwell himself 2 years before he even wrote 1984. And Orwell said in that review that he understood what C.S. Lewis was trying to say. And that he said that regimes like that do, or people, or evil like that does exist. But his critique was that since C.S. Lewis took it from a religious standpoint, that in one way you could look at it as that a divine influence saved the day kind of at the last bit, where in Orwell's book 1984, there was kind of a gloomy ending, you know, I sold you and you sold me under the chestnut tree kind of thing, where it was just, you know, no under torture, no man shall, there's no heroes and all that, just kind of a gloomy end, big brother with a boot in your face, and there you go, the end. But I think that what's very interesting to know is that if you take away all the shiny stuff with C.S. Lewis in the book That Hideous Strength, and you look at what he's saying there, he's basically saying that academia and all the whole world system is controlled by a pride and favor-based system that is satanic and that takes orders literally from the top, from kind of some sort of hybrid, very technologically way to get the topmost shot caller of evil embodied into this, and that it essentially that's what's running the whole world system, is a literal spirit. And you have to take it significantly because he hid that really, really well. It wasn't something he wanted to come out and say. C.S. Lewis, as an Oxford Don, and you know, he, and as a former atheist at the same college, I don't know if he was at Oxford or if he was at Cambridge at that point, but he kind of back and forth. I think he was a Don at both, I think. But you know, he was an atheist and obviously a genius, so he was, you know, a rising star. He no doubt knew of these people in Oxford, you know, with the Rhodes Scholarship Program and Cecil Rhodes, and that whole business is kind of a hub for this whole New World Order thing. So, you know, I mean, he knew these people. I have no doubt in my mind that C.S. Lewis knew it, and I'm sure that he felt like he had to say something about it, and I think that Hideous Strength was his way of saying it. But what's also interesting to know is the Wrinkle in Time lady, Madeleine Lingle, I don't know how to pronounce that name, but whatever, that trilogy, or I think it's a trilogy, is saying the exact same thing, that there is a totalitarian government that is ruled by spirits. In essence, I mean, this is taking out all the veil out of the whole thing, and that she had, it was so important of an expose that this was coming, and that it was ruled at the top of the hierarchy by extra dimensional entities, that it needed to be hidden in this style of writing. All right, I'm going to kind of shift gears here, because there's something I've been wanting to talk about that I think is interesting, and just a little observation that I've made, it might encourage some people out there. The past few months I've been totally broke, like no money whatsoever, no way to get money, just broke. So you know, it really does make you dependent and start to learn to be dependent on God for a lot of things. And you know, I got bills and things too, and you know, there's just no way to do anything about it. So all you can do is pray. It's like, God, you got to take care of this because I can't do it. But what I'm getting at is that when you don't have money and you like really, really don't have money, then you can appreciate the things that you do get. Like, it's like a level of appreciation for just the small God-given things, like fruit, you know, apples and oranges and things. You have it, they taste different. Everything is completely a 180-degree perception difference about how you view things. It's like a very natural appreciation. You can tell that it's more real than it was if you had money. And the macro aspect of that is that if you had a lot of money, you could, or really just a little bit of money, you could never really attain that level of appreciation. It's like almost directly related to what you can provide and what you can be provided. And if you have money and you go to, you make a stop at the grocery store and you get, or let's say a convenience store and you get a, you know, some kind of drink that you like and some kind of food that you like, it's, there's no enjoyment there, you know? I mean, there is enjoyment on a very basic level, but there is another kind of enjoyment for just having, you know, the basic stuff. It's very interesting. I think that in a way it gives me hope for the future, because I do feel that the future, if there's going to be survival of people that aren't going to go along with the system, it's going to have to be, we're going to have to go back to, you know, the earliest of times, you know, with a few amenities here and there that we wouldn't have had before. But I don't really have any idea of exactly the mechanics of how this is all going to go down, but at some level, at some time, the survivors of this, the people that aren't going to go along with this, are going to have to live really, really stripped down. And as Americans, we will go totally crazy when that happens, because we're so used to hot showers and stuff. It's almost like important to immediately start practicing that kind of thing, because just practicing, you know. And also something else I feel like I should say, all this debt, you know, during that time too, having like bills to pay, but you know, my bills are nothing compared to what people have that are kids and mortgages and all the financial housing crisis and all that stuff that's going down. And it's this cloud of oppression that hangs over people. And it's that cloud of oppression is the end result of what this was all supposed to do. The way that it's making you feel right now, and the way it makes you feel every night and every day, and the cloud that hangs with you, is the reason that it's happening. So if you let it own you like that, then it's working, and the oppression is what the whole deal is here. And don't let the devil, or whatever you want to call it, don't let him win with that, you know? Don't let him have that victory. You know, he can have the house, he can have everything else, but don't let him make you feel like crap. And so take that back, you know, if you take anything back, because it's so important, because that's really what he wanted in the first place. So don't let him have it. And the way that you don't let him have it is that you start praying for faith, and just praying for it to be just showered on you, just because when you sit down every night and you pray and you give all your cares, just list them all to God. I mean, say that this is too much for me. I don't have any way to do this. If anything happens here, it's you, because I certainly don't have any way out of this. And, you know, let it be for his glory, and know that you can't do it. And then the trick is, when it does happen, don't think that you did it. I mean, it's so, how many times have I prayed for something and got it? I'm probably betting 1,000 on that. And most of those times I reject the idea that God was the one that did it, because he does it in such a way that's like, oh, well, that probably was going to happen anyway. Or I just totally forget that it happened. But, you know, when you are so down and out, and the kind of things that are coming, that we're going to need him every single day. We need him to do things, to literally pull off miracles every day. And look, we're not supposed to live with this oppressive feeling of debt and all this stuff that's just going to plague us, and realize that there's only so much that they can do and take. A lot of people are going to lose their houses and lose everything. Look, that may be the best thing that ever happened to some of you out there. Some of you, it might save your life to lose your house. And if it feels like that's what's going to happen, then, you know, let it happen if you think it's going to, because there's going to be a lot of death coming too, and it's going to be a geographically located. Maybe it would, I don't know. I mean, it's probably better to be mobile for a lot of people living in major cities and all that kind of thing. You know, there's no telling what God's going to do, but if you trust him and you start asking for his will to be done in your life, and really giving your life to him to do with what he wants, you know, not what you want, but then you'll find out, like, right after that, he'll take the blinders off, and it's kind of, that's when you realize, well, hey, you and I want the same thing. I had no clue. That's the big crazy part of the whole thing, is that your will and his will are very compatible, but it just doesn't seem like that. It always seems like such a chore on the outside, like, oh, I don't want to go pray, and I don't want to, you know, submit to anybody else's. I want to do my own thing, and that thing. That's the big thing here, is that we are made up of, literally, like, you look at our bodies, like every atom, and in between every atom and the nucleus and the protons and the electrons, all that space in between there is a part, and everything of it is a part of him. I mean, we are built to be a part of him. So that's why when you go closer to him, and the closer you go, and it's good to be afraid of stuff and to be oppressed by stuff, as long as it makes you run to his arms for protection from it. Because if you run to him, then out of fear or out of whatever it is, and it you will continue to go closer, because then you'll start to feel that it's that how right it feels. Like, this is, you know, it all makes sense then. Once you've, and in whatever it is that drives you there in the first place is really inconsequential, because once you get there and once you've taken the blinders off, then you're like, oh, this is why all those Christians act crazy, you know, because, and I was telling somebody that the other day, you know, because they were trying to say, you know, well, how about all these Christians that are just, you know, they've done, said the thing and whatever, and they're part of the body of Christ, and they're going to heaven, right? So is there going to be different ranks in heaven? They were trying to say, like, well, since I, like, you know, really am really into it, and these people aren't really into it, but they're just kind of, you know, going along with it, they're going to heaven, and I'm going to heaven. I was trying to say, well, yeah, I mean, there very well may be ranks in heaven and whatever, but that's not why I'm doing it or anything. In fact, if you want to look at it like that, you can look at it like I'm doing it for a very selfish reason, that's saying that I'm running to God for because I really like and understand now that that's what I want, you know? And so I'm doing it out of selfish reasons. I'm trying to turn away from sin and everything so that the Holy Spirit can dwell more perfectly in me, so I can, you know, be more like that and get more of that. It's kind of like an addiction in a way. So I don't look at it like, well, I'm so much more whatever than anybody else. I look at it as almost a selfish thing. That's what I chose to do. If you don't choose to do it, you know, really it's your fault, and you know, it's your choice. I think that in a very legal way, yeah, sure, yeah, that it says we're all going to heaven, so, you know, come on, let's do it. I don't care what kind of ranking system there is. I'm sure that there may very well be some kind of, and I'm sure there's scriptural evidence that says there's some sort of, you know, system like that, but really it doesn't matter. But yeah, this financial oppression is about to sweep the entire country, and it's gonna be compounded with a lot of real bad stuff, I'm sure. Like, you know, they're gonna pile a lot of stuff on top of that fire. You know, there's gonna be terrorist attacks, and there's gonna be economic crisis, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in various places and all that stuff. I'm not saying it's Armageddon. I do think they're gonna try to make it look like Armageddon, so that at the end of it, the Antichrist can come and say, "Hey, look, I'm Jesus. Remember, he was supposed to come after Armageddon. Dun, 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 it's me, Jesus." But it won't be. That's what I think. But anyway, or at least right now. But what's really important about this devastation that's coming, you know, people like you and me, hopefully, we'll run to God for our protection and for our, you know, to try to have some sort of effect on the unaffectable. You know, that's what this is kind of all about. But see, you'll also see this new infiltration of this occult system and this growing and this so-called black awakening that's coming, that people are going to you know, turn, just like we turned to God and ran to God for protection, they're going to turn to this occult system, and it's going to embrace them with open arms too. And the occult system is going, is very, very, you know, welcoming at first. I mean, the power is real. There will be immediate relief, you know, out of certain of these powers. But keep in mind, all these powers are just throwing you bones to get you to do what they want you to do. They don't care about you. They will lie about every single thing, and they'll give you immediately what you want as long as you can bring more of them into our plane, because the rules are set. They can't change the rules, but they know that the rules have to do with our will. And there's a system, a technical system, for bringing them here and bringing and letting them open up doorways to get into our bodies and into this plane. And it's an ancient system, and it was brought to us in Babylon by the Nephilim the first time they really sat here and taught us about astronomy and really taught us the witchcraft. And the various things about witchcraft all have to do with our wills. I mean, you can analyze everything that has true power in the occult, and you'll find that it's all centered around our will. It's like little board games, you know, around our will, you know. But, you know, really, and that goes for even the hardcore child sacrifice and everything else, in a sense. I mean, that's what it is. You know, this is going to be a spiritual war, you know. I mean, we're about to go into a literal spiritual war. I mean, we talk a lot about that in our lives and stuff, but, you know, get ready, people. I mean, if we're going to survive this, there's going to be a immense deception coming, and it's going to make people hate Christians, and we're going to have to go underground. And when we do encounter something, it's going to be a direct, and look, all through history, these beings who are running the show behind their puppets, and I mean puppets, I mean they're literally controlling a lot of the people at the top of the system to do a spiritual agenda. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's the reason that they're controlling these people, is so that they can advance their spiritual agenda. What would their spiritual agenda be? Let's just take a guess from what we know about them. They would probably want to get demons in every single man, woman, and child on this earth and just pile them full of demons. I mean, there's trillions and trillions of demons, you know, and they all are looking for homes. And it's always been very difficult to get demons into people, because they have to open the doors through different things, but always generally through an authority thing, either a generational family giving an authority to a child, or for a person to find it through their own dabblings in witchcraft or the occult or various other things. But you have to open the doors. And with the MK Ultra and a lot of the mind control projects of splitting the personalities in MPD, that's why every satanic ritual abuse victim is also multiple personality disorder. And that's why a lot of people are multiple personality disorders that are in the system and in the occult system, and running the show up at the governmental levels, even at the small governmental levels, are multiple personality, is because they had to do that. It's a technical way to layer in demons into their personality. They could get a personality to be a very cult loyal personality, where they could attach a demon to that personality. So when it's triggered, you know, you can have it do things. A lot of times that's where, in most every case, somebody that has a paranormal ability, quote-unquote, they have a paranormal, ability is a direct result of the spirit. Anyway, my point is that here in this new age we're going to go into, you know, the people that are going to be into the system very well with the technology that we're looking at, you know, that if you listen to that Frank Lordy interview, you know, we go off on a lot of the different types of technology that they're doing with extremely low frequency stuff, which is everywhere with these cell phones and stuff. It's very oddly spiritually motivated, you know. I mean, extremely low frequency monitors, I was looking at online at buying one, and here, you know, they sell them as ghost meters. I mean, that's what they use. These extremely low frequency meters are what they use for detecting the presences of ghosts, or i.e. demons, okay? You know, that's what they're mainly sold for. You know, there's people like me that want to get them to make sure, you know, their cell phones and their laptops and their the cell phone towers and different extremely low frequency bursts aren't happening, you know, to do all kinds of crazy stuff to us, and harp and the rest of it. But, you know, here, you know, what I'm saying is that they may have something in the works that's going to possess everybody here. And it may be before the mark of the beast. It may be have nothing to do with the Mark of the Beast or the chip or whatever you want. I mean, it's, we're going through a freaking weird time here, and we got to really understand that this is real. Really understand that spirits are there and are here, and they have an agenda, and this is the time of which the Bible spoke more about than any other time in the history of the Bible or of human history. This is the time, this is it, you know, this is the big show here, and we're alive to see it. I don't know for how much longer, but look, it's not that big a deal if we die, because there's going to be a lot of death, and a lot of death is just right around the corner, and it's going to cause us to do crazy things. And one of those crazy things it's going to cause us to do is to give over our wills, not to just the world government and the concentration camps. That's only part of it. That's only infrastructure. What we're going to give our wills over to is to somehow letting these demons inside of us. And that's what this is all about, is well, I mean, it's really not necessarily about the demons' agenda as it is who they look to as their rank and file whole member system. I mean, they look to Satan as the general of this army, you know? The absolute final authority. They're very military-based system, and they follow the high-ranking officers' orders very closely and directly with great fear. And it's interesting to note that Satan's agenda, what he's really focused on here, is this war that happens after Armageddon, or you know, when he gathers all these nations together to fight God. You know, Satan and his army, his demonic army, and apparently the men, the nations of the world too, maybe they're one and the same at that point. I don't know how this is all working out, but Satan has an army, and this is Jesus coming back, you know, to fight this literal war, going head to head, and Jesus has a army too, and it's us. It's the raptured saints, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying pre-trib, wind-trib, whatever, but, you know, at some point, even if it was right before Armageddon, there's a rapture, and that's, he's got an army of those people, and us, and probably the people that died before, who knows, but he's got an army of people in these new bodies that were promised, and these new bodies are going to get dirty before they get, you know, before we have, you know, too much, spend too much time playing around in them, because we got to fight a war. I mean, that's just what's going to go down. So, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about how, oh, I don't know, these different deals were made with the government and masquerading as aliens, you know, so that they could get our government to do a number of things and whatever, build these underground facilities and all this stuff. But, you know, to build this weaponry, this just weird weaponry that was apparently for this war, you know, for that spiritual war. Of course, that's totally just conspiracy stuff, but it doesn't really matter. It just made me think about, you know, how, you know, regardless if they're actually building weapons to fight that war and that they're actually, you know, whatever, it just illustrates that you know, that's the real agenda on his end. Not even this short-term stuff. It's that he has got a battle to fight after Armageddon that is what this is all about. So it's going to be very interesting, to say the least. That was one crazy rant. I just ranted the entire show about various topics and so on. So yeah. Okay, guys. Well, hopefully next show we're going to have a really good one with Robert Duncan O'Finian, the real life Jason Bourne. I encourage everybody to pray for him. Seriously, pray for Robert Duncan O'Finian. Really target him in prayer. He needs it very desperately, and hopefully we'll see him next week. Also, that's how you support this show, is to pray for me and pray for our protection and everything else over here. We could really, really be emboldened with knowing that you guys are praying for us, and we appreciate all that. And we'll see you next week. Remember that we're in the last days, and we should start acting like it. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. See ya. So.